Sports, mankind's greatest endeavor. For centuries, it has separated the boys from the men, football players from their brainstems, and continues to this day to spark the fire of healthy competition in the hearts of its players.
Are you crying? Are you crying? There's no crying in baseball!
Why don't you leave her alone, Jimmy?
Oh, you zip it, Doris!
Apocalypse Video and Morton Hoof Auto present the third installment of Hot Dave's Summer Film Fest. Live from the Thunderdome in Citadel, it's the Summer Games.
Rogers Hornsby was my manager, and he called me a talking pile of pig shit. And that was when my parents drove all the way down from Michigan to see me play the game. And did I cry?
No.
And you know why?
No.
Because there's no crying in baseball. There's no crying in baseball. No crying.
Just when you thought it was safe to leave the Thunderdome, America's favorite pastime returns for one last inning. Stepping onto the field to close out the summer games, it's the Peaches, led by Penny Marshall and featuring star player Gina Davis. Let's see if the Wasteland's favorite team can win one for the Immortan as we prepare to batter up with a league of their own.
I'd like to lead you all in a little prayer. Dear Lord, may our feet be swift, may our bats be mighty, and may our balls be plentiful. And Lord, I just like to thank you for that waitress in South Bend. You know who she is. She kept calling your name.
This summer, Tom Hanks is managing the impossible, the Rockford Peaches.
Sounded good.
So let's all root for the girls' team. Let's give the poor coach a break.
You're still missing the cutoff man. Now that's something that I would like you to work on before next season.
Cause it's flash, flash. We're having a bash at the old ball game.
Columbia Pictures would like to take you out to the ball game for an all-star comedy.
They'll pay you $75 a week.
We only make 30 at the dairy.
Well then, this would be more, wouldn't it?
The manager, Tom Hanks.
Are you crying? There's no crying. There's no crying in baseball.
The catcher, Gina Davis.
What do you say we slip in the back seat? You make a man out of me.
What if I smack you around for a while?
Can't we do both?
The pitcher, Lori Petty.
I made it! I'm a peach! A Rockford peach!
The scout, John Lovitz.
Are you coming? See how it works is, the train moves, not the station.
And batting cleanup, Madonna.
What if my uniform bursts open and oops, my bosoms come flying out?
You think there are men in this country who ain't seen your bosoms?
A league of their own.
All right, God knows we have a game.
It's not like any of this helps, believe me.
Directed by Penny Marshall.
Ladies, if everyone would bow your heads, I'd like to lead you all in a prayer. Lord, hallowed be thy name. May our jokes be swift. May our insights be mighty. May our pods be plentiful. And God, these are good podcasters, and they work hard. Just help them see it all the way through. Okay, that's it. Let's get out there and pod some cast! I'm your host, Dave. Welcome to the final episode of Dave's Summer Film Fest Part 3. Excuse me, Hot Dave's Summer Film Fest Part 3. The Summer important. Games. : Extra Innings. I'm joined again by fellow cinephiles, fellow baseball players, and evidently now fellow terrorists, Kara.
You know something? You're not nice.
There's no nice in baseball.
There's
no nice in podcasting. I'm also joined by Jackie.
Has anyone ever told you you look like a penis with a little hat on?
I knew one of you was going
to
say that.
I was hoping it wouldn't get snatched up before I could get to it.
Literally, there we go. I ripped the mic, the headphones.
You ripped your baseball card in half.
And finally, fresh out of charm school, I hope those lessons paid off, Jana.
I hate it when they get attached.
What?
It's John Lovitz, the best part of the movie.
Oh my god, Lovitz in this movie was simultaneously like the worst and best part of this movie.
Oh, I love he sucks, but he sucks so good.
Yes!
I almost went with his fantastic line. If I had your job, I'd kill myself.
In the Pacific Northwest, which is my territory, we have increased sales 106% in the last 12-month period. And this with a war on.
You know, if I had your job, I'd kill myself. Sit here, I'll see if I can dig up a pistol. Every trip I take, I gotta sit next to one of these guys. I'm just too friendly.
See, and I think that shows that he has some redemption. Because he's like, yeah. I know I'm an asshole, but this guy is an asshole.
God damn.
This guy is making money off of suffering.
Honestly, I was sad when his character left because it was only like,
he's a scout. He's only there for the, you know, the scout.
Like the first 20 minutes of the movie and then he's gone. I was like, surely he'll show up at the end at like the championship game
or
something.
There, he delivers a bunch of one-liners. He is an asshole. And then he gets the gals on the train and here we
are. Then he's gone. And the next time we see him isn't until the very end where we see like a picture of him.
Dramatic portrait.
And, yeah. And I'm just like, oh, he's dead
now.
Oh,
and that old guy is him. Yeah. The old guy is him. That's why
That's right.
Yeah. With the stogie.
Of course. Yeah, Lovitz was great in this movie. I had honestly forgotten he was in it. We're talking about A League of Their Own, by the way. And,
never heard of it.
Speaking of Lovitz, like when the movie begins and the credits roll and we start to see the names pop up, I'm like, this is a freaking murderous row of like actors.
Yeah.
This is insane.
Oh, yeah. A lot of good people. And non-actor. I mean, I don't know how many movies up to that point Madonna has been in.
Oh yeah.
Oh, she's so good in
she's
this.
Very
it's
good.
I mean, I know
it's
she was in
perfect.
Dick Tracy like
she's
a couple
Dick
years
Tracy.
Before this.
They actually others. Made the John Lovitz character. They made it for John Lovitz. They were like, this is going to be John Lovitz.
I can see that.
And then John's got a line in here.
You know, like to further expand on Lovitz's character, like he is, it's funny because he is doing like an SNL character, basically. This is a character you would see him do on SNL for sure. It's like a parody. It's over the top, but it still works. Like, it's never too, I mean, it's silly, but like, somehow I buy it. Like, it's just, I don't know, maybe it's an attitude or something,
it's
but
he
really sells
like,
it.
Like, he's never like, super, like, way too mean, and he's not like, way too nice. He's just like, you're like, oh, that's like a real guy who's kind of an asshole.
And it's authentic. He's not like, he's not like, trying to be an asshole, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just like, this is who I am.
I'm this guy. I love at the beginning, the first time they meet him, and Kid is like, oh, I'll do it. He's like, I don't want you. I want to do it at the ball.
Yes,
where he's just like so matter of fact. He's like, what? I'm doing my job.
Yeah.
I don't want someone who can't hit a ball.
Tryouts are in Chicago. It's a real league, professional.
Professional baseball?
Mm-hmm. They'll pay you $75 a week.
We only make 30 at the dairy.
Well, then, this would be more, wouldn't it? You interested?
Come on.
$75 a week. Pull her leg for a while. Mine are long enough already.
Look, your country needs you, and you can not only play ball, but you're kind of a dolly. That's what we're looking for.
Oh, now I get it. Listen, mister, I'm a married woman. My husband's overseas.
Oh, relax. I'm talking looky, no touchy. Just that we want girls who are easy on the eye.
Well, I'll go. I'm ready right now. I gotta sign something.
I don't want you. I want her, the one who hit the ball. You can climb back under the cow.
It's so good. Such a good way to start out the movie, too.
And yeah, such a great cast, and like I like movies that start with wraparounds like this, where you have the characters in the movie old, and then they do the extended flashback that's basically the entire movie, and then we catch back up with them later in the present at the end. And I gotta say, right off top, Gina Davis in this movie. I stan Gina Davis.
Like, I fell that, in love 1,000 times.
So anytime, good. like in the beginning of the movie, even when it's her older self, and technically it's not Gina Davis. Like,
no,
when
wait, that that's kid, her.
Oh, it is her makeup.
She no. and Lori Petty are the only ones who like at the end are like them in
oh, because I seriously thought that those were two different actresses, and they were dubbing Gina Davis's voice.
I couldn't tell for like a while. I thought, yeah, maybe it was dubbing, and then when Lori Petty shows up, I was like, oh, okay, it's the two.
It was
them
actually are. Them. Okay, wow, I didn't realize.
Yeah, everyone else was recast as, you know, like an older lady, but yeah, good old well, age makeup too.
Yeah, well, that moment when old Gina Davis catches that ball with her bare hand, I was, honestly, and then later, like, this is kind of an admission. This is going to be, I'm revealing something on this episode.
Yes.
But
everybody
I got it on.
Yourselves. It's a Dave reveal.
On it.
Who knows what it could be?
Okay, this is, might be shocking to some listeners, so listener discretion is advised.
Oh, God.
But Gina Davis in this movie, there were several times, like, especially when she, well, just the moments when you get close-ups on her narrowing her eyes, she's got her hands on the bat and she's looking, she's got that great hair, and any moment that she would catch the ball with her bare hand, I suddenly had the realization where I was like, okay, I think I understand the dom and sub culture now.
You want to catch you like a baseball, Dave? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, catch me like a little baseball, Gina.
Because honestly, I had that thought. Like that moment
toss
with
me around.
Yes, Gina Davis, absolutely. Like, she was a freaking queen in this movie, and she owns it.
Yeah, what did it do for you when Rosie O'Donnell threw two baseballs at the same time?
Oh my God,
Dave,
everyone in this movie.
Everyone is a smoke show. Oh my God. But the Gina Davis is so gorgeous that it does, like, you really get in Kit's headspace of like, imagine how much it would suck if that's your sister.
I would be anxiety ridden too.
The tallest, most beautiful, like good at everything.
Amazonian warrior like, person. Like,
she's good at sports. She's good at being like quote unquote ladylike. She is 7 feet tall. She has a perfect face.
She's a good person.
She's nice.
Yeah.
She can razz you.
She's a good leader. Like all of this stuff. And then you're like, and yeah, I'm the sister. Cool.
Yeah. And it's funny that you brought that up, Dave, because one of my very favorite parts of the movie, and this is a very big childhood movie for us, but one of my very favorite parts of the movie that I never clocked when I was younger was when Dottie would come up, they would refer to her as like big hitter, big Dottie Henson and stuff. Like, I was like, oh my God, it's because she's an Amazon. I love this so much. Everybody is just, they're just so here for this giant, amazing lady.
Yeah, who like may or may not at any given point, like do the full splits.
Yeah.
And like,
that was real. God. I think she, no.
Of course it is, because she's incredible.
She had a stand-in, that's right. I saw on the Chattopedia, she did. She had a stand-in, but because she couldn't slide into it. She could do the catch on the splits. She just couldn't slide into the splits and do the catch, yeah.
Oh, well, then I guess maybe she's not perfect.
Well, actually, no, she is, because she's like, I got to support the stunt community, and they all got to have jobs.
Exactly. She's like, yeah, I'm incredible and talented and athletic, but other people deserve to get paid, too.
Yeah,
and that's why she's the best.
Dave, who's going to do the synopsis?
Well, I'm sorry, guys. As your manager, I admittedly might have had
and owner.
I might have had one too many brewskis before the game. So, excuse me.
Let me piss for 5 minutes.
I'm gonna head out for a minute and just drain the lizard. Who among you would want to take up the synopsis duties? Who's the Dottie of the team here?
Oh God, that's such a high bar. Yeah,
if you're gonna make us pick someone, I'll pick Jackie.
All right, here's the lineup. All right, Jackie, you're the lead.
All right, Coach.
Put her in, Coach.
Well, let me just start by saying I'm glad everyone has had fun with the summer games. I don't care about sports movies, but I do care about women, and I care about this movie so much. So that's my experience with A League of Their Own.
I was... watching the movie, I was like, okay, now I know that Jackie is very woman-centered, women power, empower-centered. I really hope there's nothing in here that's like, goes the opposite direction. Because it's been a long time. But it holds up.
It really does. Like, it's, I think it's, I mean, like I said, I was sobbing about this movie not too long ago. But it's so good. Spoiler alert. Before we get into it, I wanted to shout out something I haven't seen, but I really want to watch is the series adaptation they recently did of A League of Their Own.
Oh, yeah.
Which I heard a lot of good things about.
With Abby Jacobson, right?
With Abby Jacobson and like Darcy Carden. Yeah. And it delves more into some of this perfect films, still has, you know, some blind spots of the series. I gathered, got a little bit more into like non-white women playing like queerness and stuff, which like that's not this movie's fault for not getting into that. It's fine. I don't expect them to.
It even had that moment where that lady like throws the ball, and you're like, "Oh, maybe she could play too." Oh no, there's, she's never seen
yeah,
it again.
The moment of Dottie like has a ball thrown to her by a black woman, you know, standing a certain way away, and she throws it like really fucking well, and it's a nod to like, yes, they're baseball and history and everything. There's a lot more here. We're not going to get into it. And that's fine. We're telling a different story. But
I thought they were setting up a thing where she was going to come in at the end.
That would be cool. That
as
would.
As a ringer,
but,
you know?
Hey, you know what? You have to stop watching these movies high.
Come on. That's an oddest reaction. You're like, oh, she has like a cannon for her arm.
It might have come back in. I appreciate that as the moment's nod to like,
yeah.
Obviously, yeah. There is a race element here as well. But that's not really the story we're telling right now.
It would have been nice if they could have gotten into it a little bit more, but it's understandable why they couldn't.
Yeah. Anyway, that is all to say. I haven't seen the what is it, like a Prime adaptation? Anyway,
yeah,
I heard it's good.
Prime.
Would love to watch it. Maybe we'll watch it after this. Who knows? Anyway, so this 1992 film, League of Their Own, like Dave... Like the coach said, we start out in, I guess it would be like, you know, early 90s, like then present day. And we have this nice older lady who is, you know, apparently a real homebody, like stays in her room with her, where she lives with her adult kids and her grandkids, et cetera, et cetera. And her daughter is like, you gotta go to the thing. You gotta go do the thing. And I really like this beginning part of like how just nervous she is, and the way she talks about Dottie, our lead, talks about like, oh, that wasn't a big deal or anything. It was just something I did, referring to the plot of the movie we're about to get into, this incredible baseball story. But she's like so far removed from it and feels like, oh, that's just, you know, I can't think about how much I loved that, or it just has to be like a thing I did, and it breaks my heart right up top. but then she gets to the thing, the event, and it's like a thing that really happened, the, like, you know, reunion of former female baseball players who played, like, during the World War II and et cetera, et cetera. So this is based on a true story, actually. There were, you know, the real league and the real kind of thing to all of that. But so she gets there and she takes a look at the field and all these older ladies tossing the ball around. And she...
Now let's begin the Wayne's World. Diddle-doo, diddle-doo,
diddle-doo, diddle-doo. Everything starts looking sepia. and there we are. You know, I didn't realize also that we start out in Oregon, that there are these two sisters are playing some little like local league with other women. And I love their early uniforms, where they're just, you know, rolled up, they're like dairy uniforms, yeah, or whatever. There's just like some dumpy pants. We're all covered in dirt. Like, who cares?
And they're playing softball.
The underhand.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Huh? I didn't make that connection. I
think that's the girl game.
Yeah, that's the girl game. I think it's interesting that you see... that these are all women's softball games that people are at, but then it's, and there are people there, and presumably they're not the only people in the country that have these. So it's like, okay, all women's sports do have fans. They do have a place in the country at this time. But then when they tried to make it on like a countrywide scale, it was like, oh yeah, people aren't interested in that. And maybe it's the difference between baseball and softball, because like we said, softball is more typically seen as the women's sport. But actually, per the Chattopedia, it was popular from the get-go in real life.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Like, that's the whole thing with, like, you know, baseball, basically, like, from the time it was invented, but especially, you know, like, the first half of the 20th century, like, everybody loved it. And, of course, that would include, like, women and girls. People would be, like, playing it. And yes, as long as it's, you know, at a local level, and as long as you, of course, you know, get married after this, and you don't try to step into, yeah, any kind of prestigious role or like a man's role, because baseball is for boys and everyone knows that. And
hold on, let me spit real quick for a comic effect.
Okay. Some of the we'll get to Tom Hanks, but he gets real nasty. He gets some nasty,
like, I've never
spit
seen
moments. I really appreciate what a dirtbag.
Yeah,
it made me miss comedy Tom Hanks.
Yeah,
I was like, remember when Tom Hanks did comedy?
Well, to speak to Tom Hanks, I have another revelation for the episode here. I had actually never seen this movie before.
Wow.
Watching it.
Wow.
Funny enough, I had only
seen... Is it because you hate women?
It's because I hate women. No, funny enough, let's I had only ever seen... It's because I hate women.
Cancel.
I had only ever seen the ending to this movie on TV. Like, literally the end when they're at Cooperstown and they're looking at all the pictures. That's
You're like,
the
oh,
only...
these old ladies are happy, I guess.
That's, and I knew that Tom Hanks was in it. I'm like, oh, okay. Because you see, like, that picture of him, like, I guess he's dead now. But that's all I've seen. And obviously I knew the line, you know, there's no crying in baseball. But that's it. And I gotta say... again, much like last year, you guys, like with Dirty Dancing, that was like the revelation, and in my opinion, the gem of last summer's promotion. I think League of Their Own is the gem of this promotion.
It's a gem.
It was really, really good. And I gotta say, damn you, Penny Marshall, because you had me crying through so much of this movie.
Oh, yeah. Because it's a love story, but it's importantly a love story about sisters and about sports and the Tom Hanks. Like, I knew that there wasn't going to be a romance with him, but even still, the whole time I was like, don't make him that run. It's no, that's not what we're here for. You can have some kind of like tension with Dottie, but at the end of the day, it's like, they're equals, and it's not about, like, we fell in love. Like, no, we're not doing that.
I feel like he definitely caught a little bit of feelings, though. I think he caught some feelings.
But it is also just a thing, like, he clearly, like, respects her so much. And for him, like, that's, respecting a woman is probably, like, a new thing.
Yeah, and I think that's probably a testament to Tom Hanks, too, getting an actor of that caliber in that role, because it's, like, there was so much subtext. There was so much subtext, like, that last look of him and her when she's, and I, you know, not to go super forward, Jackie, sorry, but that last look between him and her when Bob's standing there, I read so much in his face of, like, if only I had been a better man, I could have deserved a woman like this. Mm-hmm. I do have so much respect for her, but also, like, if I had, I would have liked to have the respect of a woman like this if I had been better.
He wishes he was in a dom sub relationship.
He said, I wish you would throw a fastball at my fucking face.
I wish you would handle me like she handles those baseballs.
Oh, I wish you would just take a bat and, like, just beat the shit out of me. Wow, okay, Jim. All right, I mean, sure.
Yeah, like you mentioned, that the sister relationship in this is really the core of the movie, and I was kind of torn because they're both good people. Like Dottie and Kit are, you know, neither of them are, like, you know, outwardly, like, bad towards each other. It's just it's such a crappy situation because Dottie, played by Gina Davis, is objectively so much better at literally everything than her kid sister.
But that's not true, and I don't want to jump ahead, but I have some thoughts on the big ending.
Okay.
The big game ending.
Hey, do it.
Or no, jump later, ahead. Later, yeah. Later, when we get there.
Okay, all right. Yeah, let's get back to the synopsis. Anyway, so we're meeting Dottie and Kit, who are these sisters. They, you know, they work on a farm. They're just hanging out, and they get, Dottie gets scouted at a game, and she's not interested in joining the girls' players' league because she's married. She, you know, has a job. She's not really thinking about, like, that kind of life. But Kit, the younger sister, is like, oh my god, I would do fucking anything to play baseball. Like, that sounds incredible.
I want to get out of your shadow.
And so the scout, Mr. Lovitz himself, is like, okay, like, if you're prettier, more talented sister comes, I'll let you come. And he says it basically just like that. So, which is, you know.
But it was
no
also after feeling her arm, which I appreciate. A strong lady arm.
He was like, oh wait, shit, you're kind of jacked. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Come on. But mostly I do want
appreciate a strong lady arm.
Hey, you got a baseball arm, see?
I mean, they're farm girls. Like, of course they're strong. So they get to the trials. First we stop, we pick up Marla, who is like a virtuoso at baseball, but she commits the crime of
Marla
being unfeminine and shy. The scene with her and her dad, I was sobbing.
Yeah, that was the first scene that had me bawling.
When they first introduced Marla and she has her head down and then she peers up, and I'm just like, this is the cutest lady in the whole world.
Let me protect her. She's perfect.
Well, and this gets into what I mentioned earlier about simultaneously loving and hating John Lovitz's character, because that moment when she looks up and it cuts back to his face, like, he contorts his face like, ew. I was like, oh, screw you, Lovitz.
It's, she commits the heinous crime of not being, presentably feminine or focused on any of that. And there's that great moment with her dad, who's also like a sports guy. And he's like, it's my fault. I raised her like a little boy. I didn't know no better. Like, stop.
This was, oh my god, crying.
And he's like comforting her because she's apologizing to him for fuck's sake, Penny Marshall.
I know. I was cursing Penny Marshall throughout this movie because she had me bawling.
And so, Lovitz is ready to leave because we want, you know, we want dollies. We want pretty girls. But Kit and Dottie are like, fuck you. She's good.
Immediately.
We're not leaving.
They both
put
them down
her
at the same time. time. It's not like Dottie put hers down first and then Kit followed. It was literally exactly the same time.
They were like, obviously were we want like, no. to play yeah. with this chick yeah. because she's good at baseball.
Can we take a quick little side note on this scene? I thought it was hilarious that these tryouts they were holding were inside a gymnasium.
And, oh, like, yeah, and Marla breaks, like, five windows.
Yeah, and I'm like, well, yeah, no doubt. They act all surprised. I'm like, that's gonna happen.
I was, but it's pouring rain outside when we get to the scene.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
I was watching with the subtitles on, and as the men who were pitching to her and playing the outfield are leaving, they're like, I tried so hard. I gave her everything I got. It's okay, man. It's okay. I'm cute.
It's really cute.
It's so funny. I was like, that is so hilarious.
Everything is done with such a deft hand because even yeah. like the, oh, she's not pretty enough. It wasn't over the top, right? And she's certainly not ugly.
She's just unfeminine. Yeah, and, she's just, you know, unfeminine. Not focused on that.
And the boys that were throwing the thing to her, you know, thank you for the subtitle things. I had no idea, but it's not like they were like, oh, we're going to get you, you know, or whatever. They weren't, like, all hopped up on testosterone. They were like, man, she's so good.
And it's like they knew she's good, and they're like, I just can't. I can't pitch. She hits
like,
everything.
I was trying. Like, guys, I tried really hard.
Yeah, yeah.
I got to say, you mentioned a deft hand, and we've talked about her a few bits here and there, but this, in my opinion, this is probably Penny Marshall's best movie.
Oh, it's
like,
so
best
good.
Directed. It's an amazing script, like, top-notch, like, up, like top to bottom. It was so good.
I think it was probably a passion project. She has her brother in it. She has her daughter oh, yeah. in it.
Squiggy!
And Carmine Ragusa is in it, too. He makes a cameo in the dance hall, which we'll get to later. But, yeah, I think I would call this... I would not be surprised at all if this was a big passion project for her.
Sure. Oh, but then, so we get to the big... We get to Chicago for the big tryouts. And another great Love It's line. Hey, cowgirls, see the grass? Don't eat it.
Yes.
He's such a dick.
Well, I gotta leave this movie now.
Okay, and then he's like, anyway, smell you later, bitches.
But you know what? He's not. You know what? I don't think... I've never gotten this impression. I don't think he was sexist. He didn't seem to have a chip on his shoulder that he was a scout for women. Baseball players. I don't think that there was a point besides, you know, his reaction to Marla, which was he was still a man of his time, and he knew they were looking for pretty women also, so
that I mean, that's part of it, where he was following his brief, yes. which is like, find baseball players, but we want pretty girls.
Yes.
And
but I don't think he was sexist. There was not a single moment that I thought that he was sexist. Which I appreciate.
Well, there's that. He's just like, ah, geez, they got too attached to me. I gotta go.
But he said, I hate it when they get attached. I think he means just like all the people he scouts. Maybe you took that to mean females? I don't know.
I took it to mean ball players he scouts.
Yes.
Not females.
Yeah.
Where were we? Then we then we meet a whole bunch of the other
our
lineup.
Motley crew.
Dave's
we got
favorite
our
part
crew.
Coming up.
I fucking love the Rosie O'Donnell Madonna two-hander.
Oh, man.
They are a perfect team.
They're so good.
We got Doris and May.
Speaking of Rosie O'Donnell, did any of you? I was getting hardcore Michelle Rodriguez from Fast and the Furious vibes from Rosie
yeah.
O'Donnell
yeah.
in this movie.
I can see that.
But also, like, I love that she's cool, but she's not as cool as Michelle Rodriguez. Like, they're still,
yeah,
like,
right.
dorks.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And she's so supportive. I don't know. I've only seen a couple of Fast and Furious. I don't know how much Michelle Rodriguez gets to play off of other women. But Rosie O'Donnell, May, is it Dolores or Doris?
I think it's Doris.
Doris. We're so unbelievably supportive of each other.
Oh, they're great. When they're introduced and she's like, she's doing this like balancing bat trick,
yeah,
and she's like, May, look at me.
Yes.
So cute. They immediately start shit talking Dottie and Kit. And then when Dottie is, you know, catches with her bare hand, catches a ball.
Hell yeah.
Because she's incredible. Madonna May has a line where she's like, before that, she's like, yes, some of you is going home. And then she catches it. She's like, all right, some of them are going home.
I don't know if you, I don't know, maybe I'm the only one that read this, but you mentioned queer earlier, Jackie, about the TV show. I really got the feeling that if this movie was made in a different time, if it was a modern movie, I think that there was a level of romantic love between Doris and May. I think Doris did have some romantic feelings for May.
I would have loved if I think there's definitely like a queer reading to be done of this movie. Yeah. But especially with those two, because they're like, they're besties. I love the Doris has this line like a little later at the dance club when May's like cutting it up. She has this line of like, "Oh, my dad owned a dance hall. That's how me and May met. She was a dancer. I was a bouncer." Yeah. And it's just like, what a incredible meet cute. Yes. I want their movie.
There's and I love a movie that they're shipping them. Gotta be.
I love a movie that slows things down, or I guess speeds things up, to have a dance number in the middle. You know what I mean? I appreciated the dance number in this movie.
Incredible. And it's not, you know, it takes something like the other context of like, hey, you've got super famous pop star Madonna in this movie.
That's true, of course.
She's obviously not the star, but then you get a moment like that where she's just like, oh my God, like having so much fun on the dance floor. Everyone's like throwing her around, flipping her and swinging her, and she's just like loving it. And
back and forth between these two guys, and they're like fighting for her affection.
Yeah, like one line of being like, oh yeah, she was a dancer. You'd be like, oh sure, yeah.
What's great about that part is that, like you said, Dave, the two guys are like trying to dance with her. They're like fight dancing over her with her.
Yes.
But then the happiest she looks is when she gets thrown over to Doris, and Doris catches her, and then they're
so good. That's such a joyful scene. Anyway, so we're at the tryouts. We get this great montage of all these women, like, you know, like training and like running into the dirt, and like, again, I don't care about sports. I don't even really care about baseball movies that much, but I care about women athletes because they are great and statistically, at least in the United States, better than male athletes. That's just true. And so they're at these tryouts. Oh, we get that other like gorgeous little moment of like the woman who can't read, who's like doesn't know if she's
and I'm crying again.
And then the other woman walks up and she's like, "Honey," and she helps her find her name.
That lady is so sweet. She has a couple of other moments. I think, wasn't she on Ellen? I think she was one of Ellen's friends on Ellen, much later, you know, when Ellen was on. But
the sitcom.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's where I recognize her from. But she was so sweet throughout the entire movie.
Ugh. Anyway, all of our friends who we just met are on the beaches, baby.
And now I finally get that reference. Because I feel like peaches has come up in the past in movie references, and I never knew what it meant.
Yeah. And I didn't realize, I'd forgotten about this. It's only at this point that we are introduced to the Tom Hanks character. Because at that point, the teams are, you know, set and everything. They need a manager, and they, you know, to help bolster this all-American girl players baseball league, you need a man as a manager. And who better than a washed up, you know, like major league guy? He can't play because his knee's all fucked up and he's a crazy alcoholic, but he can sit in the dugout and
scratch his nuts.
Yeah, he can piss all day long and scratch his nuts and spit up chewing tobacco on your shoes.
And that other guy was great. Gross. The
David Strathairn.
As the
Was he a general man? I don't even know what he was.
I don't know what he was, like a promoter or something?
Yeah, or like, you know, assistant team something or another. But he's the one who's like, really wants to save the league. What was his character's name? Lowenstein.
Yeah. His characters, I liked his character because, like, initially it starts off, you're like, oh, he's just like the, you know, the corporate face. The company man. He's like, Ed, if you don't want to wear the sexy uniforms, you can just go home right now.
That was the other part of the skirt uniforms being introduced, and basically
completely impractical.
All the women there, all the baseball players are like, are you fucking kidding me? even Madonna, who's playing, I love May, I love that she's a tramp, and she's just like, where am I supposed to put my cigarettes?
Well, Statham is so good in this because, like, again, like, you think he's going to be just the corporate guy, but then he turns out, he's like, you know, when they're going to shut, he's like, the guys are coming home or whatever they say, like, but baseball's coming back, so we don't need this anymore.
Yeah.
And David Statham is like, well, sir, not for nothing, but these girls have worked their asses off, like, and they are really very good.
He's done a lot of work. He goes back to him at least three times while he's trying to walk away from
him. In that scene where the guy's like, no, they said they're not going to cancel baseball, so we don't need to do this anymore. And he's like, but these girls... And then he also says, like, oh, I suppose that's going to be the same for, like, the factories. And mm-hmm. he, like, makes it a broader context, like, man, women in general, they are going to get effed. They stepped in, and you're just going to fuck them over again.
Yeah. He's clearly, like, grown fond of them as people and of, like, this... The whole idea of, like, well, they're great baseball players. Why shouldn't they be playing baseball? You're just going to, like, just going to throw it all away for what? And the, so good. Yeah, he cares.
He talks about how they play with, like, broken fingers and stuff. And during that part, I was thinking, like, oh, my gosh, nobody plays, like, if they pull a hamstring, they get pulled out of the game now. And these women are out here playing with broken fingers, giant bruises, things like that. And it's like, man, like, I just think that was such a good line because it compared them to the way that professional men sometimes play baseball, where it's like, oh, they have to be taken out because they pulled a hamstring or whatever. And it's like, no, these women are hurting themselves out here, and they're so dedicated that they keep playing. And it was just such a good line because it did that without doing it.
they're out here just, like, busting their asses for no prestige because, like, oh, we're doing better in the war, so we're done with this. Yeah. Also, in that point, I skipped over this, but after the girls, like, are on the teams and, like, hired and everything and agree to wear the skirt, they have to go to charm school. Yeah. They go to etiquette classes because it's fine if you're, like, an incredible athlete, but if you are not a pretty, pretty princess at the same time, what are we doing here?
To be honest, this didn't really make sense to me because, like, this scene would have made more sense making them go to charm school if they were actively promoting something, you know what I mean, or where they had to present themselves as quote-unquote ladylike, but that never happens in the movie, so, like, you only ever see them as ball players, and the audience at the games accepts them as ball players, like, they're rowdy and whatnot.
We also see the interstitials of, like, the war, you know.
Oh, the interviews.
Of, like, yeah, I guess. Betty is not just, she's got a blah, 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 but she also knits, because there is this constant, like, make sure you have to assuage everyone that you can be a quote unquote good woman in addition to being good at your sport. And if you can't do that, then, like, you know, we can make some jokes. We can shoot Marla from very far away.
Oh, my God, that moment.
Which is a funny moment.
She could, yeah, wow, what a hitter.
But, I mean, that would be, you know, the real thing of, like, well, we can't sell someone like Marla as sufficiently feminine, so we'll ignore that because she's good at the game. But let's focus on, you know, Dottie, the perfect in every way, like, let's cut over to, yeah, like, May, all the way May winking.
And the beauty queens,
exactly. So I think that is, like, the point of the
and they all got makeovers.
They all have
hands
to...
Hands off, fellas. She's married.
Hands off, fellas. So that is, like, a significant part of the movie, and that's why we see, like, the etiquette classes, because that would have been... we could even maybe have used, like, another scene during the games of, like, their female handler, that poor woman who had enough on her plate, but some line of, like, you know, like, oh, don't... Ooh, like...
Like being a little bit like this, sussy, yeah.
But I think the point gets across without that. But
there was one since you mentioned her. I can't remember her name, Miss.
It's like Featherbottom or something. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah,
The Wicked Witch.
The one, there were two disgusting parts in the movie when it came to Miss Cut, and it, they both had to do with
Miss God.
One of them was when the bus driver threw the dirt in her mouth.
Oh my God.
That is so disgusting that a human being would do that to another human being.
And then right after that, we get the played for laughs, like Tom Hanks forcibly kissing her. Yes. And she's making sounds of distress. I didn't like that one bit.
I did not like that at all. I think that, unfortunately, I could look past it just because it was kind of a thing of its times of forcing themselves on women and people think it's funny. But the other second part, which I thought was absolutely disgusting, and it was played for laughs, was when May food poisoned her.
I know, that was, they're like, we're gonna poison her.
Oh, yeah.
And they do.
They do.
And they poison this poor woman so they can go have an admittedly amazing night at the dance hall, but...
Did they ever go back to that? Like, what happened to her? Did she just, like, puke her guts out and die?
I think she just...
No, I mean, we see her again.
Oh, we do see her again. Yeah, okay.
But she didn't die, but...
Stop watching this
I thought maybe
movie
she was just going to have like diarrhea or something, but she's like violently vomiting.
Yeah, apparently she's puking her guts out.
In the scene where she's puking her guts out, that's like the first time Jimmy is like very nice. He's like patting her back and like, it's okay, it's all right, yep. Nope.
He's
totally
clearly grossed
shoes
out, but he's like, oh, jeez.
Like, this is nice.
That is the equivalent of him holding her hair back when she throws up in the toilet.
And
obviously
that does...
not in a romantic way at all.
No. But that comes right after, too, when their terrible bus driver quits because of that shitty little kid.
Oh, he's the best. Angel.
But Tom Hanks, so the bus driver walks off, throws dirt in a woman's face.
So disgusting.
Disgustingly,
Absolutely
Tom Hanks
disgusting.
Wakes up from like one or another drunken stupor because he's not taking any of this seriously because he doesn't like women. He does not respect them as people. He kind of has a moment of like snapping into it of like, okay, I'll drive the fucking bus. Like, everyone shut up and like, let's. And from there, then he helps care for the poor woman.
Poor Miss Cuthbert.
And basically after that point.
I mean, she had dirt in her mouth. Think of it. It's gross.
Dang, it's gross that he forced himself on her too.
Well, that too, but I can't get over
it.
We cannot emphasize, if you've never seen the movie, we cannot emphasize how dramatically shocking that moment is when the bus driver throws a clump of dirt at her face.
Horrible, and it's not even like she was the one that was making him crazy. It was
she was just
trying
to be like, excuse me, please come back, you can't leave us in the middle of the room.
I could not believe it. I have not, honestly, that was the most shocking moment I've seen in a movie in some time, because it's not like they cut around it, there's no movie magic. No, this guy picks up some dirt from the ground, throws it right in her face. He's standing like 2 feet
so
away from
close.
Her it was terrible. Shocking.
It was shocking.
Terrible. There's a good line because Stillwell Angel's running around the bus screaming because May's chasing him with a bat, and as he's passing the girls again, they go, Dottie Az says, why is he so wild? And his mom goes, I don't know, here, have another chocolate bar.
Dottie also has a great, there's a great like bit right after that where they're still talking. The mom's like, he's really an angel or something. That Dottie's like, just like bone dry. She's like, I want to have six just like him.
Yes! Oh, Dottie is so crazy.
Great May moment. Yeah, her just picking up a baseball bat and saying like, I'm going to kill this kid.
I wanted her to kill it.
I'm going to kill him. But then, we're at the dance club. We have a swell time. Marla puts on a dress and drinks a whole bunch of booze and meets her husband. Oh, it's nice.
So that was another thing, though, as I've gotten older, moments like that where I'm like, they literally just met. And she is singing him a song about how much she loves him.
Hey, it's wartime. Anything can happen.
Yes. And, you know, they're both kind of outcast types.
They're both odd ducks.
Yes. So maybe a very very much is, like, once you find somebody that you can connect with, it's like, yeah, this is my person. I was also wondering why he was there. I was like, what is this guy doing here?
Is that a guy?
Maybe he's older.
And I do also like the, kind of on that note, because it could be viewed as the, like, oh, well, now Marla has romantic love and someone she thinks she's pretty and that's all that matters. But the, like, I think right after that, or like pretty soon after that, there's like a scene on the bus, and I love all the scenes on the bus with, yes, with the gals, and they're all kind of chatting together, like doing their hair, and Rosie O'Donnell, someone's like, oh, Doris, is that your boyfriend? She's like, yeah. And it's just like some guy. She's got a line of like, oh, he's unemployed, he treats me bad, he's ugly. Yeah. And one of the girls is like, so why are you with him? And she's like, well, because he's the only guy that like ever asked me. And it's this just really kind of quiet moment of her being like, what does she say? It's like, I always thought I was like bad or wrong, but
a strange girl,
yeah, or a strange girl, but like, I think all of us are like really great. And it's, I'm gonna cry again.
Yeah.
And then on that note of just like loving herself and her teammates, she rips up this douchebag's picture and throws it out the window because you don't need to settle for the one guy who asks. Because yeah, and fuck him.
That's the one saving grace about Marla falling for somebody so quickly is he is so smitten with her. Yeah. It's like when she is singing him this song, he's like, oh, you sure? I think he just thinks she's the greatest thing since sliced bread.
Yeah. And that's what Rosie O'Donnell deserves,
yes,
too.
Yes! Oh my, it's such an incredible moment, and it's so powerful to me. Like, if women see, you know, if women can come together, and when women come together and see that other women are like them too, or, you know, accept them for who they are, because I'm sure you just know that May was trying to tell Doris, this guy's no good,
he sucks.
But,
and I'm sure it would be, you know, some back and forth between of like, oh, well, it's easy for you to say,
yes,
because you're like the sexy one. You do all this. And
yes.
But to them, yeah, be surrounded by like only women, and yes, you're all like, you have this
a community.
Athleticism
and
college
community.
Exactly.
Community.
That's the word.
And a lot, because if she only had May, who also liked to play baseball, and May, like, was into, she liked looking pretty, she liked getting dressed up, she liked tracking new men, and then Doris comes in and finds other women who don't really care about that.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, I don't have to care about that, and I still deserve a good person.
Yeah.
I deserve two dorky little simps at the baseball game.
Oh my God,
that's why I can excuse that kind 22. Of the no homo of it too. Of I'm like, well, if Doris and May can't be together, I'm glad that she's got a couple of simps.
Oh, and I think this was maybe the original thruple. I think that this was like the first cinematic thruple.
And good for them.
Good for them.
It's nice that we turned the twin tropes around. You know.
What are they, just two guys who are not related but look really similar, and they're like, yeah, we've got the same type, so what's up?
They just met at the ball game,
and Doris is like,
all
right,
friends?
Like, do you want to be best friends? Are you in love with her too?
Oh,
hell yeah.
Let's cheer together.
That'd be awesome. But yeah, the Peaches are doing great. They're taking off.
They get a montage,
but we have a couple kind of different threads going. One being like Tom Hanks as Jimmy Dugan kind of actually getting his head like in the game to be a manager and like support these women as baseball players and like get over his initial like, oh, you're not ball players, you're women. And he is blowing up at them at first. We have the iconic "there's no crying in baseball" line, which is not fair, because you can cry at any sport you want. You should
also
see some of these big boys
women
cry.
Just, you know, a lot of women are just more emotional. Like, Karen,
also getting screamed at in your face,
yes,
make someone cry.
And Karen, I cry cry when we're happy, when we're sad, when we're when something is overly grand.
Because women are allowed to be emotional, so they're express, like, oh, well, I might as well do it.
Can express it, Tom Hanks.
Yes, exactly. So she might have cried. You know, she might have also cried if he was being very praiseworthy of her
we do all get in that moment of when he's like you know, screaming at her and saying you can't cry. He's got this the thing of like, so and so was my coach and he screamed at me and that was the day my parents came down to watch me and did I cry? And it's like, you should have. That sucks. That's terrible that happened to you. But
and that's,
you know,
that was your line. That was the umpire was such a class act in that part where he was like, you know, I don't care for the treat these girls like you would your mother. Maybe just
he's
treat
like,
them
don't,
like humans.
Oh, don't do that though. Don't yeah. like yeah.
Just treat them like humans, but
and
I
don't
do
scream
like
at them.
I do like that he came over and stuck up for her. But he did look like
even
a
though
girl.
He looked like a penis.
He
in
did
his
look
hat.
Like a penis with a hat.
And the funny thing about that moment was I'd never seen this movie before, but I had that exact thought before Tom Hanks said the line. I'm like, that guy's head kind of looks like a penis.
Looks like a penis.
Howdy, Jimmy. What? She's crying, sir.
I didn't mean to do that.
Perhaps you chastise her too vehemently. Good rule of thumb. Treat each of these girls as you would treat your mother. You want to ever tell you look like a penis with a little hat on?
You're out of here!
Oh, no,
right
no, no,
now,
no,
Jimmy,
you,
I heard
you
that!
You misunderstood.
Ten
you
seconds,
misunderstood
Jimmy.
Me!
No, you can't throw me out for
seconds,
that!
No one, you
got a strike!
But while, you know, he's trying to step up, but he still has, like, so much kind of disrespect for the women. So in the meantime, Dottie, you know, the natural leader, is stepping in, and she's kind of acting as manager, like, giving plays and, like, the lineup and everything. And she's good at it. She's good at everything. So Jimmy notices this, and they have that great scene where they're both trying to coach Marla on like how
so
to
great.
Hit. And eventually, Jimmy's advice, you know, she takes it, gets a great hit, and there's that moment of like mutual respect between him and Dottie, where she sees that like, okay, you are giving a shit. It seems like you know, you're taking us seriously. And from then we get like their kind of friendship co-coaching montage when he gives her the dip is so fun. Just another moment of, God damn it. Sheeta Davis is so gorgeous.
There's like her
and that
jawline.
Blonde hair is looks
with like
so
a little dirt
over.
Smeared over a cheekbone.
Oh, I love that.
Just it's incredible.
To speak like to real quick, like I want to give like again like for anyone who hasn't seen the movie, like before Tom Hanks, before Tom Hanks starts to notice that Gina Davis is like awesome and like, oh, these girls are actually pretty good and they care. Like there is a moment that is like simultaneously funny and also like depressing. Like so before Tom Hanks like takes the initiative and starts actually coaching the team, they're like for most of the games he's at, he is basically just either passed out, hungover, scratching his nuts. And there's a moment where David Strathairn comes down. He's just like, oh, you know.
Nice piece of coaching, Jimmy. I especially like that move in the fifth inning when you scratched your balls for an hour.
Well, anything worth doing is worth doing right.
Yes, indeed. Until you did that, I couldn't tell if you were drunk or dead.
And like that line says so much. And like I said, it's simultaneously hilarious, but also like, Jesus.
Yeah,
like, you know,
like,
I didn't know if you were dead or
mess.
Hungover. Yeah, that's
you know,
it really illustrates how messed up he is.
It is, but just thinking about now that we're talking about it, he knows that Marla is their best hitter. So he had to have been paying somewhat attention.
That's true. Yeah.
And it's I like the lead up to that moment where he is paying attention. He has like May hits a triple and he's like, hit a triple. Like he's paying attention, but he still is like, well, I don't give a shit because you're women, and so I'm not gonna care about this even if I'm noticing it. And then he finally kind of decides of like, well, they're good and I give a shit and I want to be part of this.
Yeah, I actually do give a shit. I actually do give a shit that she's, you know, taking our best hitter and not using her correctly.
And so they I love the way they challenge each other there. And the other kind of montage we get a little later is when, Lowenstein is getting word, or like they're playing a game or something, and it's like there's barely anyone there, and Lowenstein's getting word of like, oh, we're in trouble. It would be great if we could do like some publicity here, and it's a funny, but also again like. You know, not the movie's fault, but like the world's fault of like, it's frustrating because we get that moment of Dottie, you know, doing a full splits to catch a ball.
Yeah.
Which even like they cut to that other player on the other team. She's like, I can't do that.
And the coach goes, who can?
Are you sure? Who can? Where they lean into like, okay, you want to see, you know, the pretty princesses play baseball and do everything backwards and heels, as the saying goes, like, we'll fucking do it, okay?
Yeah.
And we will get butts in seats because we're fantastic at baseball, and yeah, we'll look pretty if that's what you want. We'll fucking do it, and we'll be good at that,
too. We'll
kiss
the sailors if they catch
us. Yeah, we'll kiss the sailor. Oh, my God, May's line, which is the other one I almost chose up top, where she's like, what if in a moment of chaos my shirt tears open and oops, my bosoms are free.
I love that part because Rosie O'Donnell's like, that's presuming that everyone hasn't already seen your bosoms.
She's like, there's a man in America who hasn't seen your bosoms.
That's the thing about this montage. Like, it could have, watching it with today's eyes, it could have been really gross because of the exploitation, like catch a fly, get a kiss.
But it's like all of them are really, yeah, like the agency is there. They're like, fine, let's come up with something. Like, let's.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Like, they want it. They want it to succeed. And I don't want to say so badly that they're willing to exploit themselves, but it's like they're like, hey, man, let's do it. Let's do what let's do what we can to get butts in the seats and.
And they're like, as long as you made us go to, you know, the etiquette class or whatever, as long as we're already curling our hair for the game, it's like, ooh, yeah, I can do a little wink at you. Like,
yeah. It would have been interesting. I wonder what Dottie would have done if somebody had caught her fly ball. She would have been like, absolutely not. They would have been like, fair.
She would have been given like a perfect, like, charming queen smile and like kiss them on the cheek.
They would have settled for her just like punching them. No, Dave would have.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Well, walk up and that guy would faint.
Can you imagine what would have happened if someone slapped Gina Davis's ass in this? That guy would be dead.
She grabs him by the throat, lifts him up in the air.
Yes.
And then all of the other women come through with their bats.
She would have ripped that guy's hand off and shoved it up his ass.
Dottie lifts him by the throat. Kit comes in and starts swinging at his nuts.
That's okay. I'm very glad that you brought Kit up again because I think that I don't even know if it's the B plot or the A plot, but the sister.
It's definitely the heart.
The sister through line.
When I was younger, I was like, God, Kit's. Like, she sucks, she's so annoying. And now I was just like, I would do anything for Kit. I would do anything. Yeah. I would do anything for my little sister.
Well, that's how Dottie feels.
It is. Well, I don't know, though, because I do get the sense, like, watching it now and, you know, okay, jumping ahead just a little bit because it fits the conversation. At the end, when they run into each other and Dottie drops the ball, when I was younger, there was not a doubt in my mind that she did that on purpose. I was thinking that too. I think she did.
But she did, yeah.
I don't think she did it on purpose. I think Kit really got the better of her. And I think that, you know, now it was very clear to me, Dottie telling the pitcher she throw a high fastball because she can't hit them, but she also can't lay off them. I really think she was trying to win. And I just think that Kit very much got the better of her.
I think so because, like, that's the whole tension between them of she wants to take care of her little sister through it all, but she kind of knows that she can't do that forever. And that's why they're butting heads. And so she's taking her seriously at the very end and saying like, yeah, I'll kick your ass. Like, cause I know your weaknesses, but she, you know, perseveres and she succeeds. Cause that is about to happen.
Dottie actually did not hand her that, but she did, you know, try to get traded to another team or she did try to leave for her, but I would absolutely drop that ball. I would drop that ball so fast.
Well, that's like the script of this movie is so good because like I again for most of the movie I was torn because like I completely empathize with where Kit was coming from, you know, and I can understand why she like that moment like when you cut back to her and she's like in tears because she's about to go up to bat. It's the final. It's their last chance. You know what I mean? She's now on the opposing team. It's their last chance to get it, and she's terrified and crying. And Gina Davis sees this, and I was just torn throughout this whole movie because, again, neither of them are in the wrong. It's not like Gina Davis is actively like trying to like hold her sister back. The whole reason that she's here is because she loves her sister, and John Lovitz wouldn't take her unless Gina Davis came along too.
She loves the game too. I think that's the thing. She's conflicted because she loves the game. Yeah, when Jimmy Dugan says you play like you love it, and she says I don't. That's bullshit. We know she's just being stoic dottie.
That's what's so difficult. I have a different take here. It's
unfortunate because I think that Dottie loves to play baseball, but she pretends not to love it because Kit loves it. And I think that everything Dottie does is for Kit until, like, because she loves it, but she's better than Kit, and Kit hates that, so she's like, I wish that I was bad at this. I think everything that Dottie does is for Kit. And I don't think that she would have ever gone. She would have been content to stay on the farm. But Kit really, really wanted to go, and she couldn't go without her, so they went. She was trying not to fall in love with it, and she wasn't showboating ever in the games. And then Lewinstein was like, we're going to get canceled. And then everybody on the team was like, I can't go back to my old life. I'm so sad. I don't want to go back. And she's like, well, she was like, I have to do something. I know that I'm good at this. I can spice it up a little to get more publicity. Everything she does is for other people.
Well, and that's what's so good at the end when they have
the foot race in the beginning.
But that's just sisters.
There's so many layers going on here, like, you know, like sibling rivalry and all that. Like, I love how layered this is because at the end, like, she's not, you could tell that she's happy for her sister that she won, but at the same time, there's also that sibling rivalry bit kind of comes in where it's like, holy shit, she actually got the better of me. Because I had the same thought, like, oh, she dropped it on purpose. But then you realize, oh, no. Kit actually surpassed her sister for once. And it's a great moment because, like, Gina Davis now has to reckon with that. Like, oh, like, it's like a conflicting thing because it's like she didn't want to be better than her sister. She didn't want to upclass her. She just was naturally good. But then suddenly you're faced with the situation where you're like, oh, she's better than me for once? Like, well, now I feel kind of shitty and I wish I was better now too.
You know?
It's a lot of conflicting emotions. And I think they handle it perfectly.
I very respectfully, heartily disagree because when... I think that maybe she feels she's mad at Kit because Kit's mad at her, and that's, you know, sisters.
That was a dirty move,
because
Kit.
She hasn't seen Kit since Kit was traded and they had that big fight. And she's like, I'm sick of you blaming me for all your problems because everything I do is to try to help you. And she doesn't understand, like, okay, but you don't need to do that. Kit can do her own stuff. So then she hits a line drive right at her. I don't know if that's intentional. I think it's ambiguous. And then she looks over and she sees Kit like freaking out in the pit. And she's like, oh God. And then she feels, you know, she's like, I want her to do well. So I think when she does in the moment, I think Gina Davis's face, she's like, I do want to win. I don't think that there is, if maybe like 5% of her is sad, but I think the heavy majority is so happy that Kit, they're chanting her name in the stands. They're getting Kit, Kit, Kit. Yeah. And she's like, if we weren't sisters, maybe I could love baseball as much as I really do. And I would have loved to be the winner. I would have loved for them to chant my name. I could do this. But you mean so much more to me than baseball does. And this means so much to you that I don't need any of it. And I am so happy that you're getting what you want.
Karen, you're going to make me cry again. Stop
it. I know, right? No, I love that take because that look like when they're chanting Kit's name and it like cuts back over to to Dottie, and we see like the other Peaches, and you know they're disappointed because they wanted to win, and obviously Dottie also wanted to win, but that look on her face where she kind of has like a little half smile, it's like she wanted her sister to win more because she loves her.
That's how I read it. I think Dottie wanted to win, and she did not give up the game, but
at the end of the day, it's like, well, I still won because my little sister's a star.
Exactly. I do like that part because she's like smiling when Kit's like being hoisted up and they're chanting her name. And then as like the other players walk by, she's like, no, I'm not smiling. I'm not happy. Oh, no, I'm sad.
No, she's like, oh, no, that sucks. That sucks.
That's kind of what I was getting at. It's like, I think it's kind of a little bit from column A, a little bit from column B. Yes. Like, I think that this movie does a good job of, and I think particularly Gina Davis does a good job of showing all of those emotions. You know what I mean? It's not just one or the other. It's everything and just, oh God. Like,
yeah, Dave, I think you were referencing specifically the part where they do actually meet up after Kit signs the baseballs when Dottie is packing, right? And Dottie does have the energy of like,
they both have this
very realistic energy of like,
yeah,
okay, like you beat me, and it's really weird. Because that is so... Jackie, I don't know if you have siblings. Dave, I know you have a brother.
I only have a brother, and it's,
But that's what it's like, because you both simultaneously are like, I finally beat you, but then you're like, I'm so sorry I beat you.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, it's God. Tough.
When they hug, and Dottie's like, I love you, and Kit's like, really?
And well, it's just like, you idiot, Kit, of course you love you. Of course I fucking love you.
There is nothing more heartbreaking than when she's having her meltdown in the dugout. I was like, this is the most heartbreaking thing I've ever seen in my entire life. Anybody that is a sibling, I would venture to say, especially an older sibling, if you look over and see your younger sibling, like, dying inside, you're like, I'm dying
right now. Well, it's like the stakes for Gina Davis are so high because she's like, I know my sister wants this so bad, but... my team wants this so bad too. She's got everything on her shoulders, and there's that moment when they lose, and like Tom Hanks just pats Rosie O'Donnell on the shoulder, like, you played a good game. You know what I mean? It's like, I want them all to win.
and that's why I don't like sports, because I just want everyone to have a good time.
And that's why I hate sports. I literally wrote when I was making notes, I was like, this is why I don't like sports. This movie's too realistic.
Someone has to lose. we skipped over, but I mean, the crux of the, like, the emotional through line with the sisters, like, comes to the point where Kit feels so in her sister's shadow, and Dottie, trying to get herself transferred off the team, gets... Kit transferred off the team, and so they end the movie as rivals at the World Series.
I think it's worth mentioning that in the fight that they have, because Dottie's like, yeah, pull her out, she's not pitching very well, and she was like, I treated you like a baseball player, and she's like, no, blah, blah, blah.
She made the tough call to take her sister out of the game.
Yeah. And when they're in that fighting, she said, why do you have to be so good? It's like, if you're here, then I'm not here. And so Dottie's like, then I'll go away so you can be here. So if they can see you, I will leave.
And because she's the star, you know, we can't have that.
No. But they also do a very good job. You know, like I said, when I was younger, I was like, God, Kit's so annoying. Why is she like this? But they do a super good job of, like, Dottie is literally always bossing her around and telling her what to do, telling her what she can do, telling her what she can't do.
Oh, I mean, it's so great to open with their relationship with Dottie, like, kind of coaching her from the sidelines, and Kit, you know, taking it as a little sibling would, and clearly being kind of annoyed, but also being like, yeah, whatever, we're having fun.
Yeah.
I was torn, man, because, like, I completely empathize with where Lori Petty's character is coming from, but at the same time, I'm like, you can't compete with Gina Davis. She's an Amazonian goddess, and she's awesome, and she's the best ever, and I want to marry her in a dance hall.
All right, she gets it. You'd be like, wow, when I look at you, what Gina Davis is right here. I know,
I was conflicted.
Dave, why don't you give Cutthroat Island another watch on your newfound love for Gina Davis? How about that?
That's why that movie is such... That's why that movie is such a tragedy, because, like, in a project like this, Gina Davis is a fucking star. and she deserved a better pirate vehicle. That's all.
We are Cuthbert Island stans, but
I know.
I did listen to that episode, so I know what the general consensus
is. It's not her fault. It's that no good husband of hers. Anyway.
She settled for a shitty director.
They're not all Penny Marshall. Sorry.
I know.
So we got to the World Series, and it was sister against sister, and I always forget that the Peaches don't win at the end of the movie. As we were talking about, like, the emotional climax there is that the Peaches don't win, but Kit wins, and sisters win.
I know, but I don't think anybody was disappointed. Any of you, like, I was not disappointed, because have such a connection to Dottie and Kit that you're not disappointed that the Peaches
I was disappointed.
Don't win. You were disappointed.
Well,
I asked you Peaches.
Well, but good. This movie is so good. I felt all the emotions. I felt disappointment for them losing. I felt joy for Kit winning and finally getting out of Dottie's
shadow.
This
movie will give you every human emotion. It will make you a sister.
Because you spend more time with all of the Peaches. So you have more people that you're connected with instead of just Kit. You're like, I'm glad Kit won, but I don't care about all these other people.
I like their coach.
Their coach is fine, like, but you don't know him. You know everybody else. You develop the relationship with them. So when they're sad, you're like, well, this fucking sucks.
Yeah. But you know what? They still got each other.
Yeah. And they'll be back next season.
And they'll be back next,
except for
Dottie.
They're sticking around for jobs.
I mean,
well, I was... people. Yeah, I was kind of curious, like, when we get back to the end at Cooperstown and, you know, they're all celebrating being included in the Hall of Fame or whatever it is. Like, I was a little, like, on edge, because I'm like, oh, God, who died? Like, who are they going to reveal who died? Oh, no.
Speaking of who died, can we talk about what an idiot that telegram deliverer is?
Oh my God.
Oh, he's like,
I hate doing these death telegrams to this room full of women who's
died,
like,
but I don't know who.
All these women are like, oh, whose husband died? Is it mine?
Yeah. And he's that like, was a night, yeah, like, one of them died, but I can't tell you who I'm going
to I don't know.
Leave
one of them.
Body.
I'll be back.
That was kind of a cool scene to kind of set the movie in the period of the early 40s of people getting, you know, telegrams that their spouse died or whatever in the war. Like, I thought that was a cool thing that really helped fill in the background of the world.
Oh,
I really enjoyed that scene.
Super heartbreak. That was another really heartbreaking part, which was like, oh my God, like, as you get older, certain parts hit different, right? Because we have significant others now and stuff. It's like, what if that was me? Oh my gosh.
And that great moment with Tom Hanks is like someone who has grown to care about these people, and he's like, I don't need your stupid name on the list, like, I know whose husband is at war, and I pretend like I don't know people's names, or maybe I don't, but like,
my gosh, that is such a good point. I didn't even think about the fact that he would have had to know their husband's names, like, it's at least George da-da-da-da-da, he knew it was
He's like, I know it's Betty Spaghetti Sauce.
And it's nice because he ripped up the baseball card in the beginning from Betty.
Oh, that's right.
Well, that was Betty. You're right, I really hope he replaced that, by the way.
I'm sure he signed anything that she wanted.
I hope he replaced it.
Well, it's not for the husband, but
But maybe she wants it now.
I guess it doesn't matter now. You're right.
He won't need this anymore, but... Yeah.
I did want to say real quick, Dave... are you going to guess who you were in the movie?
Right. We were talking about this before we started recording. I just assumed that I would be Stillwell Angel, like, being the annoying person.
You're not a brat. You're not an annoying brat. You're the announcer. You're Squiggy.
You're Squiggy.
Oh. That guy had one of my favorite lines in the movie where he's like, I think it's at the beginning of the game. He's like, one of these teams will go home the winners, and the other... We'll just go home.
Oh, doctor.
He says, oh, she knocked the cream cheese out of that one.
Yes!
Oh, Dave, you gotta start saying that.
Please don't say that. He's gonna say, Gina Davis knocked the cream cheese out of me.
I wish.
Oh, Dr. Gina Davis,
Did you notice that Leone was in it?
She's on receipt. Gia Leone out of nowhere. Yeah. Everyone's in this.
Everyone is in this.
You're right. It's a totally stacked cast, Jackie. It's so good.
I also really appreciated to kind of jump to the end when, you know, so they basically, you know, the movie ends, they're at Cooperstown, we're in the present now, and Dottie and Kit reunite and they embrace. We find out that Kit apparently has like 15 children or something.
She's the only one that brought her entire family.
Yeah.
She was like, I'm not dropping you guys off.
So they meet and, you know, they embrace and they're like, hey, let's stay for a group picture. And I love that the movie ends, the end credits end with all of the older versions of them playing the game again. Yeah. Like, that was really sweet. Yes.
I was sobbing my eyes out.
You get that moment where one of the characters is just like, that was not a ball or that was not a strike. You know what I mean? Arguing with the umpire. Like, that was great.
Also, that was, older lady Marla is gorgeous. Regular Marla, gorgeous also. But older lady Marla is like, this is a gorgeous older lady.
The decades of true undying love will make anybody beautiful.
She looks fantastic.
I love when we meet like old Doris and May, yeah, who are just like, yep, we got an older lady in a sweatshirt and the older lady with the little scarf.
Oh my God, I wanted to touch on Madonna really quickly too. Mm-hmm.
Don't we all?
Dave wants Gina Davis. I'll take Madonna. When she, that line that you kind of talked about a little bit earlier, May, when she's like, I'm not going back to dancing, basically. She's like, so you go back and tell your Mr. Candy Bar man that they ain't throwing me out. I was just like blown away. I was like, anybody that thinks that Madonna is not an actress, show them this scene.
You feel it. She brings it.
Incredible.
It's one of those roles where like, if she were just there to kind of to have fun and like wink at it and just be kind of like a comedy player with Rosie O'Donnell, that would still be great. Yes. But then, yeah, she gets that moment where you're like, yeah, guess what? She's playing a real person too.
Yeah, and I think
everyone here is playing a real person.
Real person. And, you know, again, you're like, well, it's just dancing, you know, but you do kind of see the plot line of like, you can see, like, it's still a woman who has to make money off of her body. It very much is just a lighthearted, more lighthearted, family-friendly version of women that are forced into prostitution, forced into, you know, being strippers and stuff like that. And it's like, yeah, it's just dancing, but it is a small picture of what she is trying to say about the bigger picture. But it's just such an incredible moment. She was so good in that moment.
Yeah. Yeah. Great movie!
Great movie.
10 out of 10.
Such a good movie. Absolutely. And Dave, I wanted to say this too. You really liked the dance scene. You said that last year Dirty Dancing was the other sleeper hit.
Maybe, you just love a movie where people are jumping around dancing.
maybe I just like dancing sequences.
You just love a swing dance
movie.
Yeah, next year's Hot Dave's, it has to be all dancing movies. We're just doing like Step Up, Dirty Dancing Do, Havana Nights, which is a terrible movie.
Oh, I want to watch it so bad.
I think you guys just called it. You called your shot. Next year. Next
movies.
Summer Film Fest, folks. It is all dancing all the time.
I have a
great terrible movie for you then. All about
I love
dancing.
How the entire next year's Summer Film Fest is just being programmed like right now live on the air.
We're getting next season's lineup.
Yeah, and you could also do movies with dance breaks since you like those too. Like Remember the Titans, which could be the bridge. It could be a good bridge.
As would Dirty Dancing 2.
As would Dirty Dancing 2. I want to watch it so bad.
Swayze does show up in it.
Step Up, Footloose. There are a lot of movies coming to mind.
Dude. Oh, Footloose, yeah. Not Flashdance. Flashdance is terrible.
No, we don't need to do Flashdance. That's a silly one.
Are you saying Flashdance wouldn't be the sleeper hit of next year?
Absolutely not. You'd be like, why did I watch
about that? Yeah, you get to the end, you're like, okay, that's a interesting one, I guess.
Well,
you probably would also come away saying Jennifer Beale, very pretty. Which
is
the main point of that movie.
Obviously.
It's a terrible movie, that is.
Yeah.
Well, before we post the lineup for next year's Summer Film Fest, see who was cut and who made the team, is it safe to say recommends all across the board?
Yeah? Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you Do have love... not seen this movie, go see it. It's on
Definitely.
Netflix? It's on Netflix.
Yeah. It's got everything.
It's got everything.
It's got sports. It's got love.
It's got sex.
It's got dance numbers.
It's got dancing. It's got humor. It's got dirtbag Tom Hanks.
It's got great defeats of physicality.
It awakened something in Day.
It did.
It's got baseball.
A League of Their Own. It might awaken something in you.
If you're lucky.
Well, I gotta toast you terrorists for exploding into the Thunderdome like you did.
You're still using some very harsh language, though. So I don't know if you actually.
Just because we're strong women, we're terrorists. Wow.
Well, whatever you refer to yourselves as, I want to thank you for saving the Summer Games.
You're welcome.
This was. Again, you guys, you hit for the cycle. You know, this was a grand slam of a movie. You ended the Summer Film Fest on a high note, and I want to thank you guys for taking us into extra innings with The League of Their Own.
Yeah, woo! Thanks, Dave. Yay. Thanks, owner-manager Dave.
Yeah. Wait, so you never actually said how many candy bars are we getting for this? I was told I would be paid handsomely.
Oh, do you still have candy bars around, Dave?
I got a guy.
Nice. He's a fat little boy.
Yes.
Stillwell Angel's my guy.
Well, that'll do it for Hot Dave Summer Film Fest Part 3. Next year when you see us, it's going to be all dance movies all night, baby.
We're going to be putting our dancing shoes on.
But thank you guys for joining me on this last episode of the Film Fest. It was a great time. I think there were pretty much all great movies we watched. I don't know if there were real... Oh, well, there was Air Bud. I forgot about that one, but we'll forget about that.
Do they dance in any of the Air Bud movies? In any of the 16 sequels?
That's
what
we need a dancing
dog. You guys talked about the Air Bud franchise. Where's the dancing movie of Air Bud?
Ain't no rule says the dog can't dance.
Well, that'll do it for this year. We can't wait to see you next summer. But until then, is there a League of Their Own way we could sign off on this?
Play ball!
That's all, folks!
We're out! You ain't going
me! Oh, drive home safely! We'll see you next year!
Get out of here, you hags!
Oh, doctor!
Been a thin slice of heaven. Goodbye.
Wait, you're going?
Dry your eyes. Yeah, I'm just going home, grab a shower and a shave, give the wife a little pickle tickle, and I'm on my way. I'll see you.
Yeah, but don't...
But what? Field, tryouts, play.
That's it. Get lost.
Come on,
guys. I hate when they get attached to me like that.